It's about to start. Do you want to pay this? Absolutely not. I will be going back to school next fall. Yes, I will.
Okay, let me. You know what, Lynn? Seriously? You
I'll
do
be
you.
Taking 6 credits every semester. It's for my natural born life, okay? Okay.
You know what? My student loan payments is putting a little hurt in my pocket. Let me see if I can do some
6 credits is all you need.
6 credits for what?
Creative writing. 6 credits. Go to Kingsborough.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will never attend Kingsborough Community College ever again.
It's on the water. You'll never.
They try to jerk you because some dumb bitch had their wedding reception over there. So they think they hot shit. I don't give a fuck. Kingsborough will never see me on campus.
I mean, but they might have online classes. I really want to take a creative writing course so that I can break my writer's block. But I don't want to pay for a creative writing course. So I'm still trying to figure it out.
That's the rub. Because, like, you know, all I do is marketing. So how many more marketing courses does one need?
Can they, wait, will your job pay for classes?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
Well then, you know. Hello and welcome to another episode.
Black girl charms. Yo, I forgot to brand the call last week and I felt so bad.
I could have sworn you did it at the beginning.
I tried and I got so distracted because I was so excited that we were able to record uninterrupted.
It was a giggle fest. It was 100%. You branded it, but you branded it within giggles.
Yes. Welcome, guys, to a new episode of Black Girl Charmed. I am your Chumbawamba co-host, Ray.
Why are you tub thumping? What is going on?
Because I get knocked down, but I get up again.
You take a whiskey drink?
The little bottle of Jameson right now.
You drink a song that reminds you of the good times.
I drink a song that reminds me of the best time. Oh, Johnny boy, Johnny boy. Oh, yeah. Yo.
Oh, my God. We have such good news. Really good news, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, besides you being knocked down. Wait,
who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
I don't know. Who am I this week? I think that is like life's question, though, like, right? Like, who am I?
Well,
find
out
next week on another episode of Black Girl Charmed.
I went to a Jamaican route. You went to, like, an existential marketing route. Oh, man.
But it is your co-host now. Hey, guys.
Yo. And we are... We're in a better place, you know.
We're in such a better place. The audio last week was so good. Like, I was editing it and I was like, is this us? Is this we? Is this she? What is
this? What's so funny is my mic levels, I know for a fact, went in the red. So I was waiting for my ear to hurt when I was listening back, you know, because we do everything. One band, one sound.
So before I hit export, there's a little, so it's crazy. So on our last platform, I had to do all of these like things, like multiple things to get the sound quality that we had. This one, and this was on the free, like that's what sold me. it was a toggle. I did nothing else. I didn't put it through another
echo
system.
Cancellation?
No, not even echo cancellation. There's like, it says like sound balancing or something like that. And it's like, do you want both tracks to be the same? And that was it.
Ooh,
I hit one button.
We fancy.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Y'all know what platform we're talking about because I was dragging them in our.
We dragged them. I dragged them all week. All week. Oh,
you know who owes a dragon in Four Friends Kitchen in Denver, Colorado?
Oh. Did you drag them online?
I did drag them online, but I didn't go as hard as I wanted to.
You should have.
Because I have a podcast, so I want everyone to know how shitty it was to be a patron at Four Friends Kitchen in Denver, Colorado, where your waiter gets mad at you because a fly landed on your cheesy grits and bacon bites. That were nasty, by the way.
I was about to say, your fly was like, don't do this. Let me take the bullet for you. I'm on my last 2 hours of life. I'll take the L for you. But you didn't even want that. You exactly. didn't eat that. That was spirit telling you not to eat that.
So it was my fault that the fly flew on my food and I was the bitch who didn't want to eat contaminated food. I was also the bitch who didn't want to eat or didn't want to dip their beignet bites in the jam because a fly landed in that as well. So I'm the difficult customer because you, Four Friends Kitchen in Denver, Colorado, have a fly infestation. And what made it so much fun is when I was, you know, taking a sip of my drink, I looked over to my left and I saw my whack-ass waiter grab two bottles of tequila and start dancing and singing and performing for his hoe-ass fucking coworkers. And it's a man, so you already know it's the weakest fucking link, as we have seen by this week of events. Right?
I just want to say, speaking about this week of events, he totally deserved that slap. And I have been saying that for the last
year. I peeped your Facebook status and I didn't want to, you know what? Because I'm the dangerous one. I'm the rude one. I'm the bitch who hates Four Friends Kitchen in Denver, Colorado. The name of this episode is Fuck Four Friends Kitchen in Denver, Colorado. Like, dead ass. Because how dare you grab two bottles of tequila and be like, motherfuckers want to come inside close to closing and be difficult. How about your restaurant not have a fly infestation and I won't be difficult, you raggedy, dumb bitch?
Did you leave a review?
Oh, that's the next step. So we have tweeted. Now, everybody who listens to this podcast knows never, ever, ever to go to Four Friends Kitchen in Denver, Colorado. I'm going to repeat it as much times as I need to for it to sink in. There will be no confusion, and I'm going to clip this and put it on my TikTok and then repost it. So
apparently, there's been a lot of one-star reviews in the last year.
Oh, I wonder why Four Friends Kitchen in Denver, Colorado.
And apparently they re-show profile people a lot.
Oh, I didn't want to say it, but it definitely was a black man who was racially profiling me and my partner.
I mean, maybe you deserve to get hit with a brick.
Oh, hold on. Ugh. This is gonna be fun. Y'all, this is the Unhinged podcast already, but
you need Jesus.
I need protection.
When you should have used it.
Oh man. I gotta figure out a way to get the safety pin in there smoother, because if I'm in danger, I'm gonna be in danger trying to fumble this shit in there. And I also don't want to like keep it in there like fully charged because I'm like accidentally myself. But we're gonna figure out a way.
Speaking of being in danger, I'm about to join a Black Girls Who Carries group. Yes.
Y'all looked at me crazy when I said I wanted my hunting license and I wanted a hunting rifle.
I have never looked at you crazy. I am just concerned because I feel like, have I truly matured from the 21-year-old, 22-year-old who jumped up on the counter at work to go whoop a customer's ass?
I'm definitely the same person who will stab a man with a rat tail comb.
Right, exactly. Which is why I'm like, do I really want to carry? Because I don't like to speak very often. I'm a person of few words outside of this podcast.
My Twitter bestie Haven, who I follow on the Tiki Talkies, posted a video for people who didn't really feel safe carrying a musketeer. And it's like, it's a gun, but you don't have to get like, you can get rubber bullets. You can get like different bullets. So it's,
rubber bullets are horrible. You can take somebody's eye out.
Okay. At least you could be alive, or you could be the man who got, you know, wings and wings. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm so glad that we now have video. Let's test it next week. Cause I feel like, guys, you do not understand. When there's moments of silence, it's because my face is never truly prepared for the things that come out of my best friend's mouth. And we've been best friends for, what, almost 20 years now? And, like, I don't...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, ma'am.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. If more people ended up on a t-shirt, maybe people wouldn't be getting hit in the face with a brick.
Which is why I'm afraid to carry, because I don't think I've reached a level of maturity where you're not going to get your pinky toe shot off.
I believe in it's either you or me, and it's damn sure not going to be me. It's not. It's just not. I gotta make it home to my kids, yo. I gotta make it home to my family. Can I just say, speaking of all this calamity, so me and Jose were having an argument, and it was just like, well, not an argument, it was a discussion, because, you know, people don't understand that arguments don't always mean arguments. And I was like, y'all were just so ready to risk it all for the Alabama brawl. And he was like, that was different. That was different. That was racism. And I was like, nah, baby, it's the same. You know why? Because mad black people running after white folks, y'all don't think they was going to pull out the musketeer? You risking not coming home to your family. Mad black people jumping on black folks, on white folks. The cops not going to get involved. You not coming back home to your family. What's wild is I see the goalposts moving for this poor woman, Ro, who got hit with the face of the brick. But here's the thing, though. A 60-year-old woman got beat with a cane in Harlem, yet still nobody helped her either. So if Ro wasn't worth it, the 60-year-old woman ain't worth it?
Got beat with a cane?
This man was trying to harass her, and she was protecting herself with her cane. He then took her cane and beat her with her own cane, and then proceeded to beat her with a belt. And everybody watched this happen instead of helping this woman. Right. So,
toodles.
So, if Ro wasn't worth it because she was speaking that little bigger ticker talk, if she wasn't worth it because she was out at night, if she wasn't worth it because, like, that dumb bitch was saying, she's a rock and, you know, she not a diamond. What about somebody's grandma?
I could not listen to the discourse because I refuse at this point in time to do anything that's going to disrupt my peace. Okay. It's bad enough I got to get up and go to work.
It's crazy. Cause it's like, this story or the reason why she got hit with a brick, it ain't even new. Remember, like, a few years ago on Labor Day when this girl got shot and murdered because she didn't want to give him, she didn't want to give him a dance on the parkway? She didn't want to give him a lick of wine, and he was like, oh, you gonna reject me on Labor Day? Pow, pow. But it's surprising that a woman got hit in the face with a brick. It's surprising that a man would react this way. Y'all are fucking dumb. And like, if a t-shirt if a t-shirt ceremony happens, and it just has to happen, maybe y'all will learn.
Oh my God.
My mom used to say, children who don't listen must feel.
That's right. The Bible says that. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
And y'all been sparing the fucking rod. Shit. You know what?
This is what you've been enjoying. This is what you've been enjoying this week instead of watching TV.
No, I mean, I have been watching television, but y'all not getting no free promo off this shit. Honestly, the only thing that has been that's coming to mind that I could actually talk about is the Pod Crush episode that came out yesterday with Taylor Momsen. So it was a little Gossip Girl reunion with Penn and his sister Jenny Humphrey. But obviously Pod Crush isn't like it's not a TV centered podcast. It's more about like healing your adolescent child podcast, like middle school you. What were your dreams? How did you fall in love? How does that translate into life now? So, you know.
Shadow work? What the fuck?
Penn Badgley, our Jamaican king, is very spiritual. Like, he is super, like, he studied, like, astrology and, like, religion and all. He's one of those.
Okay. So that's some fuckboys I can't get with. They know how to cripple you. Using the stars and the sun. I can't do that.
What have you been reading?
Oh my gosh. So I've been reading a lot. I bought a bunch of books so that I did not pick up and read. I actually used my Kindle all week. But I read Dead and Stormy Night. It's a series. The full series is called The Nevermore Bookshop. And the premise is it's such like, you know, they say like cozy books. It's a cozy fantasy book. It has steamy parts to it, but overall, it's so cozy. So you have Heathcliff and you have Maury and you have Cordy, and then you have the heroine, Mina, and they solve murders. In this bookstore. And the first book has like a huge plot twist, like mid, which I don't want to like ruin if you decide to read it. It's on Kindle Unlimited too. I don't know if you still have it. That was really good. I finally read Practical Magic by Alice Hoffman. And can I say, her writing is sublime. Like, I had to tell my husband on Sunday, I need you to stop talking so I can finish this book. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but she has moved up to one of my favorite authors. And Practical Magic is a series. It's a trilogy.
Look at you. Got something to keep you busy.
Siri decided to tell me that she found the series on the website. I don't know how that happened. But
I was like, what's the face for?
But yeah, so it's a trilogy, so I'm gonna get into that. And then the book of the month club that I got this month was called You Again, and it's a romance because I'm gonna step away from some thrillers. And come to find out, it's a Kylo Ren fan fiction that has been reworked for the public eye. But apparently it was so in demand that they cannot ship my book until mid-month. So I'm really excited over this Kylo Ren fan.
Are you even like a Star Warser?
I'm not a huge Star Warser. My brother is a Star Warser, so I've watched the first three. I think I watched most of the second three, and I haven't watched anything new. So I haven't watched anything that came out like in the last.
You haven't watched the woke Star Wars?
No, I have not watched any of the woke Star Wars. Okay. Even though my son says that I should watch The Mandalorian, but I do want to watch Ahsoka because I love her.
You're problematic, but I didn't
know queen. It was a Kylo Ren fan fiction when I bought it. It's an enemies to lovers romance, which you know is one of my favorite tropes, and so I was down for that. And then right after I ordered it, because TikTok is watching everything I do on my phone, a TikTok came up that said that it was a Kylo Ren fan fiction.
It was like, oh, you like this? Okay, girl. Just like, you know.
So I am playing Baldur's Gate. I almost called out the entire week this week to play Baldur's Gate because it is. First of all, I got to send you a picture of my character because she is me on steroids. She got red dreads. She got freckles. She is built. She is a sorceress slash dragon. Girl, she's beautiful. She is beautiful. She got one blue eye, one gray eye. I sat for like 40 minutes making my character. That's how like detailed character building was. And I want to fuck everybody that's in my party right now. Let me just tell you that they're all hot. They're all hot.
You nerds in your games.
Yeah. So that's what I did. And then I watched Charmed for you guys. Which, this is one of my, I'm going to take that back. Before doing the podcast, this was one of my favorite episodes.
Now watching the podcast.
Yeah. Now watching it. I mean, it's still solidly up there outside of the
Leo
plot line.
The demon? One of the best demons we've had. Just so charismatic and funny and just being like, clean up aisle two.
I know when the new demon popped up, he was like, maybe I didn't want to get promoted. I don't think that's what I wanted. I don't remember asking for a raise. What? The whole thing, I think, was very well directed. I think all of the characters played off well from each other. I think we got Grams.
Yeah, we got Grams. We got a Gram sighting.
We got a Gram sighting. Kit did something for once, you know?
Good kitty.
That's what he said. Yeah, I think it was outside of the plot line, we have Julia McMahon with a full hairline, like.
Anyway. So we were watching season three, episode two, Magic Hour. The original air date was October 12th, 2000. The writers were Zach and Chris. Director was John Baring. You get his full credits in season one, episode 16, Which Crew Is It Anyway? Which is, we liked that episode, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Because Blue Prue was a hoe. A fun hoe at that.
Mm-hmm.
The guest stars this week, we have Michael Dietz as Christopher. 14 credits, most recently in 2022. Elizabeth Arnois, a.k.a. Brooke, a.k.a. the Clean Teen from One Tree Hill. It was so weird watching her in this episode because she plays like a born again virgin on another show that I just mentioned. 53 credits, most recently in 2019. Eric Pasoya as the boss, 75 credits, most recently in 2023. So his overacting ass is still working. And I'm happy. I'm so mad he got defeated this episode. I wanted to see him come back. He's so charismatic.
He's just like. Charismatic.
He's a New York demon. That's why. All he cares about is the stocks and getting bitches. Anyway, Jennifer Rhodes as Penny Halliwell, a.k.a. Grams, full credits in season one, episode 15. Is There a Woogie in the House? Most recent credit in 2022. Amir Abodila. Oh, sorry. Amir Abola. I'm so sorry for butchering your name, sir. As Triad member number one, 20 run credits, most recently in 2021. Sean Taub and Triad member number two, 102 credits, most recently in 2022. And Rick Overton as Triad member number three, 191 credits, most recently in 2023. So everybody except for, you know, Brooke is still working pretty much actively. But if I remember correctly from the Drama Queens podcast, she likes her life away from the limelight. So
that makes sense.
There's that. Yeah.
All I could think of as you butchered that man's name was Adele Dazeem.
The incomparable, the delicious, the delectable Adele Dazeem. I don't even know if those were the adjectives he used, but
he was so sure in butchering this woman's name. All right, let's get into it. Do we have anything else?
Yep, the DVD synopsis is Piper Leo defiantly attempt to marry in spite of the wrath from the powers that be as a demon infiltrates the lives of the Charm Ones. The IMDb synopsis is the sisters must find a way to break a curse which turns a man into an owl by day and his girlfriend into a wolf by night. Meanwhile, Prue discovers a way to hold Piper and Leo's wedding without the powers that be finding out. Whatever. After the credits, we have Delicious Surprise live by Bet Hart. We heard this song, maybe like the recorded version in like season two. I forgot the episode.
Look at you and your power recall.
The storyline is practically a copy of the movie Lady Hawk from 1985. Hence Piper's comment, I swear to God, I've seen this in a movie somewhere. The only difference is that the man is turned into a wolf and the woman is turned into a bird. Now go.
I mean, I feel like I've said my initial thoughts, right? Like, one of my favorite episodes. Mm-hmm. I think everybody had really good chemistry. Mm-hmm. We see our boo, Julianne McMahon, being devilish and charming, and I'm excited.
Exposing magic.
I know. That bookstore episode irritated. That bookstore scene, excuse me, irritated me so much. But Phoebe's, it's interesting to see, like, Phoebe being so against it because it's going to harm people and blah, 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 knowing what we know down.
What's wild to me is y'all really had me rooting and siding with Phoebe Halliwell from both of this goddamn episode.
Really?
I really sat here and was like, Phoebe Halliwell out here making some good ass points. Why should they get married? Why?
I mean, if anybody had said, why should they get married? You would have sided with them.
But anyway, let's hop into this episode.
So we're in a hairdresser. We're in like a hair salon, right? And I feel like this opening scene bothers me.
Because it doesn't match the episode.
No, not because of that. It's very superficial. She's at a hair salon. The hair salon has like bridal magazine. She's looking at one. She's putting it down. She's looking at one. She's putting it down. She ends up swiping it, right? But Phoebe and Prue's hair is so much nicer than Piper's throughout this entire episode. Like, I know that Piper is the sister that is like the downplayed beauty, but for an episode that should have been about her wedding, could we have like, there's the scene at the cabin where they're all standing next to each other, and Phoebe has on her cami, and Prue has on like that pink, that really cute pink V-neck, and then she's wearing like a shirt from Old Navy.
Yeah.
And it just, it bothered me that it started with her being in a hair salon, because I need you to fire your hairdresser and I need you to go where Prue goes. That's where I need you to go.
She does in later seasons.
Yes. So after she swipes a copy of the Bride magazine from the hair salon, she's in the elevator and she sees two young girls comparing their engagement ring as she goes down the elevator. And she, rightfully so, she's slightly upset. And then when she gets outside of their house, she sees a just married couple leading a procession. And all of this is just pissing her off. And I get it. You got proposed to in a bathroom. I 100% understand why you feel the way you do. So while she's feeling like slighted and upset about everything that's going on currently, Prue and Phoebe are trying to figure out who's going to be her maid of honor. They're trying to get sunglasses for the upcoming eclipse. I guess Phoebe makes the sunglasses.
Yeah.
And she offers to make Prue one.
Well, she said she made one for Prue. It's very weird that they hate each other at this point, but they're still like, hi, friend. I love you, friend. I made you glasses.
I feel like their chemistry is so much better this season than previous seasons. Especially knowing everything that was going on behind the scenes. This is what you call acting. Acting.
I feel that, like, Shannon knew she was on her way out. She was like, I'm not even taking nothing the fuck you say seriously, bruh. Do what you gotta do, sis.
Piper believes that because of the hostility between her and Prue. Oh, I'm about to cut that out because I completely read that wrong. I'm like, that's not what happened. So Piper comes into the house and she's upset. She don't want to talk about nothing. They were going to ask her a question and she says she don't want to hear nothing about the wedding because upstairs don't want this wedding to happen. At all.
Well, upstairs don't even know the wedding's an option. They want them to be done and over with.
Right, right. It is, it's a wrap. And Prue's trying to tell her she could still, like, even though you're not getting your dream wedding, you're still getting your dream guy.
Blah, 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 blah.
And I'm just,
blah.
I'm going to move past that. Leo comes in and upstairs has said, we've had enough of y'all bullshit. We have discussed it amongst ourselves, and you can either call this shit off or get a new white lighter. And to me, and we said this last episode, he's not a good white lighter. Why you just can't have your cake and eat it too? He can be your maintenance man, Eric Jerome Dickey, and you can get a white lighter who does their job. What's the problem?
Mommy and.
Upstairs has given them 24 hours to decide. Leo, however, has come up with another solution, door number 3. He says, why don't we elope? But because upstairs is listening, they cannot say anything in regards to the wedding.
So they have to be secretive about like wedding planning and them eloping.
So they end up calling it the rutabaga.
What the fuck is a rutabaga?
Isn't it? It's like a, the rutabaga is the top of something. It's like the top of, not an onion. But the rutabaga is the top of,
it's the top
of the turnip, right?
Rutabaga or sweet is a root vegetable, a form of brassica napis, also includes sweet as turnip, a neep, a turnip.
Oh, it's a turnip. Okay. Yeah.
Rutabaga. Anyway.
Prue doesn't think that they're going to be able to hide anything from upstairs because of who they are. And Phoebe says that she can't find anything in the Book of Shadows on how to hide the wedding from upstairs. But she wants to know why upstairs is so violently opposed to it. Piper says she thinks that Leo should leave because they will be able to avoid suspicion if he's not around. Which to me, I think that would be more suspicious because this man be eating up all your food. Mm-hmm. Now you're not going to be around. It's come on, come on. So Leo Orms out and Kit yowls. And when they run to the porch, Kit is trying to whoop an owl's ass. She is trying to fuck this owl up. And when Piper and Phoebe shoo the Kit away from the owl turns into a very delicate looking naked young man. I was like, all right, delicate. See? Can't be knowing how to bring him home, okay?
As I said earlier this episode, good kitty.
We find out that this guy had a curse put on him by his boss. His boss. He does not want the sister's help. He just wants the boss dead. The sister's like, give us some time to help you. Like, let's not go murdering people, especially if this man can turn you into an owl. You might not be well equipped to take this man down. So give us time to help you. He thinks that he only has 12 hours to go and take this guy out because at sunrise, he becomes an owl again. They go to give him some of Leo's clothes. And as they're having the conversation where they're like, we need to keep an eye on him because he's going to leave. He leaves. And while all this is happening, there's a wolf sulking around the manor. And I was like, y'all, you're not concerned about that?
No. I don't think they even noticed it.
No, because Piper is like, we don't have time for all of this. We don't have time to deal with his drama. We trying to deal with my drama and trying to pull off this rutabaga. Why are we worried about
Piper? Piper was like, oh, he gone? We don't got to work today? All right, back to my wedding shit.
And this was giving very, like, season one Piper.
My man, ass bitch.
Before was her job, though.
Yep.
So Prue goes to Scry. Oh, so as they're having the conversation, I think Kit, like, knocks the feather into, like, where they were standing. And Prue picks it up, and she says she's going to see if she can scry for the owl man. Phoebe offers to help, but Prue is like, nope, you should stay with Piper and help her hide her wedding. And Phoebe doesn't really want to do that. Like, she's having second thoughts. She doesn't.
Well, when Piper and Leo were describing it, they said that it would be an unspeakable wrath. That's when she was like, wait, what unspeakable wrath for y'all or for us? Because, like, inquiring minds need to know before I get on the good foot. And Piper doesn't even, like, acknowledge that or, like, say anything. She just pushes past and be like, why don't they want us to be together?
I mean, as a baby, Phoebe is kind of selfish. I think if it was unspeakable wrath for the two of them, she'd have been like, oh my God, let's do this. She was like, wait. I'm not even getting no penis in this situation, and I gotta deal with the unspeakable rat too.
And like, it's also, well, it's very funny how the dynamic is happening, because I feel like Prue feels like this is a stupid ass idea anyway, but she's not gonna say nothing because she already know Piper's mind is made up, and I might as well deal with what I can deal with, and it's this the charge in front of me. Phoebe speaking for both Prue and herself, maybe more so herself, and being like, why do we gotta suffer? Now, why am I in it?
Right.
You see, right. We ain't even do nothing. How we get in it? You know, you don't know what that means for your sisters, and you're just so blindly just ignoring that, which is, again, y'all got me siding with Phoebe Hallowell.
Well, this next scene, you'll be a little upset. So we're at the bookstore, and they've picked up several books. And when I say they, I mean Phoebe and Piper picked up several books on weddings and eloping and all of that stuff at a bookstore. It looks like a college Barnes and Noble. It looks like they
went to that same bookstore. They got that spell book from season two.
And who do they run into? Our darling Cole. And they're...
But But I love how he like comes in because these two people are fighting. They're doing that public, I'm not trying to get loud with you fight, but you pissing me off. And it's like,
and okay, talking about magic, mad loud. Yeah.
And Cole comes in like, girls, to your corners. Like Grants would say, this man, no, he been reading the Halliwell playbook.
What do you think? Do you think it's just because he's a demon? That he's so much like smoother on charming the girls than Leo was?
He does doofy in a different way that like Leo does doofy. Leo does like golden retriever doofy.
I was gonna say Leo is written like the male perspective of a golden retriever, not necessarily a female perspective of the golden retriever.
Yes, definitely. And Cole is
predatory.
Yes, he's because I feel like, I mean, this comes out in later episodes, but Cole is like, I studied them. The way to break them ain't through witchery. It's through that female bond. It's through that. That's how you break them. You break that, you break everything. Maybe y'all coming at them from the wrong direction. And I feel like because it's been 3 years of failed attempts, Balthazar, aka Cole, has just been like, all right, let's learn about Melinda. And it's read like the whole family line. And it's just because he comes in so unassuming, but knows everything. It's like he Googled them before he met them. And he has that advantage.
That's how you want your man, like when you have like first dates and stuff, like unassuming, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, see, that man Ruby, that was ruined. I'm all fucked up now. See? Because I'm with a villain.
You know what? It was Highlander for me.
Duncan MacLeod of the, wait, which Highlander?
Duncan MacLeod of the Clan. Duncan MacLeod, yes, baby.
Woo. Andrew, do you remember when his girlfriend died in the car?
Yes.
And who wants to live forever with Queen?
First of all, it starts with, here we are. Ooh. Yo, come on. Come on. That's how we start. Dramatic as fuck. And you expect to be
they don't swords make no more.
Swords and men fighting with swords and sex? Whew. Whew.
I'm due for my like yearly month-long playing of Queen, so, and then it bleeds into fall, and I'll just be doing Fleetwood Mac and doing my spells and my witchcraft with Rhiannon in Silver Springs. Right. So, now that we've talked about all the sexy character men in our lives, Cole picks up
the wedding book, and he's like, who's the lucky guy? And Phoebe's like, me. And the Piper's like, me. And they're like, Mimi. Our cousin Mimi, girl, oh, whatever, good save.
Automatically is like, this is suspicious.
This is weird.
We gonna look more into it. And he switches the books because he was looking up on forensic psychology for a case that he had, supposedly. And so he had picked up all of these books.
Now, that man was really working. No case. That man really worked on his coverage. He literally was a DA. He was the DA.
He did a good job. I mean, I feel like Phoebe should have known this man is a lawyer. Demon, come on.
And okay, anyway, we'll get to that part when we get to that part. But they have their little meet cute. They pretty much cute. Like, I fuck each other. Piper grumbles because, you know, the rutabaga awaits. What's the next scene?
So the next scene, you see the boss. And we're in his office. And he hears the screech of an owl. And we find out that he placed a curse on Christopher 2 months ago. And he doesn't understand why it hasn't worked yet. And I love the scene because his minion comes in. And he's like, oh my God, we made all this money. You convinced them. And now we are rich. We are rich. He's like, yeah, because that's the fuck what I do. What the fuck you think? Did you doubt me, bitch? Did you doubt me?
Like,
it was great.
Playing the stocks isn't that much fun when magic is involved. But, you know, it's still fun. I still make my money.
He's like, but what would make it better is that girl on my arm. And you ain't killed Christopher yet. Why is he not dead? I want the money and the girl. I was like, you know what? That makes sense. So Christopher runs up on him. He got on clothes now. He runs up on him, puts a knife to his neck. And right before this, after him and the minion had the conversation, he was like, minion, you dismissed. We're done here. Goodbye.
What was funny, too, is when Christopher has him with that knife point, he's like, he's not even, like, flinching. He's like, yo, I gotta talk to security about this shit. This is some bullshit. And, like, that is the funniest thing to me, because never once in Charmed history has a character been like, who broke through my defenses? This is some old bullshit. So somebody's getting fired.
He tells Christopher that if he allows the love of his life to be with him, then he can be a man again and he wants to be an owl. And Christopher asks him, well, are you lying? And he was like, one thing I never do is bluff. And the minion comes back and the minion's holding a crossbow and he has a crossbow aimed at Christopher. And the boss man tells Christopher, you know what? And my minion, he rarely misses.
Yep.
Play with me, bitch. So the minion shoots. He doesn't clearly shoot to kill. He shoots, Christopher drops, and he runs away. Like a pussy. I don't know. I just feel like, again, right? If I'm a dog, I'm taking you with me. I am at least going to attempt to take you out with me.
Yeah.
What else do I gotta lose? I am Hedwig in the morning. What the fuck?
You're a fool.
Prue cannot find Christopher. And they think the reason why they can't find Christopher is because he is not an owl. So how are we scrying with the feather if he is clearly in his man form? And so we're in the attic and Prue is trying to find another way to help Christopher in the Book of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And Piper comes upstairs. And she's talking to Prue and Phoebe's sitting like, again,
in the Chaise Lounge upstairs.
Right, like here's the attic, because now the Chaise Lounge is different. I feel like they always up in the attic, like doing stuff. Phoebe's sitting in the Chaise Lounge. Piper walked over to Prue, and so they're flipping through the book together, and the book lands on a page about hand fasting, which is a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
That's similar to marriage, but it needs a high priestess.
And Piper's like, bitch, I thought you said you didn't find nothing in the Book of Shadows about, and she writes hand fasting on, like,
which is weird. Why you just didn't pick up the Book of Shadows and turn it around?
Yeah, but anyway, because you needed to save the bit, and I feel like this was Phoebe trying to, like, oh, hand fasting, you know, trying to give the elders a hint without giving them a hint.
Oh, you think she was setting her up?
Yeah, because Piper was like, the reason why we write the word is so we don't say the word.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch who came up with rutabaga.
Phoebe tells her, before Phoebe comes out and tells her the truth, she says, well, the reason why I'd even bring up the hand fasting is because you need a high priestess and we don't know one. And then she admits that she's really not supportive of you, of them eloping, because she thinks that it might be interfering with her Wiccan duties. I mean, but Phoebe is selfish all the time.
I know, but I'm saying that, like, she literally calls her selfish.
Yeah, yeah. And Piper admits it. Piper says, yeah, I know it's selfish, But we do all of this work protecting all these innocents. Why can't I want this for myself?
And I get that, but like maybe not the first corporeal magical being you encounter. Maybe see what else is out there, dumb fucking bitch.
I feel like, was it Christina Loren? I feel like you and I need pen names like Christina Loren, because Christina Loren is two people. It's best friends, writing books. Mm-hmm. And I feel like our heroine would be in the magical world, and she would find out she had magic powers, and she would find out that there was like other magic creatures, and she was just like, solve mysteries and fuck her way.
Word. Magically.
I don't have a name for it yet. I'm a sleep on it. I'm a sleep on it.
Soul ties.
And I feel like it would be a few books, right? And they wouldn't be very long books, maybe like 150, 200 pages. And then we would get to like book 6. And then she would find somebody and she'd be like, I like you. I don't know if I want to settle down. And then it would turn into like a reverse harem book.
Ooh, we love it. Anyway.
Right. Anyway. Okay.
Piper's like, you know, but my man, Leo, you know, why can't I want him? Why is it so bad to want him?
Because he's a bum. Over the conversation just like I was, right? And when she closes the Book of Shadows, the owl feather floats out and Phoebe goes to pick up the owl feather and she gets
a premonition.
Okay, sorry. She picks up the owl feather and gets a vision of Christopher, and it looks like he is being menaced by a wolf in a forest. They were able to find the forest, the exact place in the forest from her premonition. I think that's wild. I think that's wild. It did take most of the night, but they were able to find this exact scene in this forest. They see the wolf. They see Christopher shortly after that. The wolf barks at the sisters. Do wolves bark? Is that what they do? They bark?
I don't think so.
They howl. I don't know. But the wolf doesn't attack the sisters. He runs towards Christopher. And they like run into this house that just happens to be in the woods. And they're staring at each other. So the wolf is staring at Christopher. And then the sun rises. And you see the wolf turn into a woman. And Christopher turns into an owl. And he flies away. And the sisters are looking at this.
Well, no, because doesn't like a henchman come and try to like, oh, that's afterwards.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah.
So the sisters are looking at all of this through the door window, whatever like that. And so they're trying to explain to Brooke exactly what's going on. Like, we know Christopher, we know of Christopher, we've seen him butt naked. I understand why you want to risk it all for this man. We saw it, we get it. And she's like, I don't know. You three are witches? And they're like, yes, magic. Like, you turn into a wolf. Are we really going to have this conversation about magic? This is not the time or place. We have other more important things to do. So we find out that the boss is in love with her and cursed both her and Christopher when she was like, no, you can't smell my punani. And you hear the owl like, that's right, girl. I hear you. Thanks, my boo. I love you too. Because the owl screeched in the background. And that's when the guy comes in, the minion comes in with the crossbow and shoots him. But Piper was able to freeze the bolt and then Prue flings him to the ground and they were able to make an escape.
You trust us now?
Right. At the manor, before we even move forward, I'm really sick of the witches, your witches conversation. Ma'am, it's always like you have seen magic. Why, like, you are in danger. I need you to not have this conversation right now. Ma'am, you turn into a wolf during the day. And you are still concerned when I tell you I'm a witch? Ma'am. Oh. We're back at the manor. Phoebe tells Piper that maybe she came off a little bit too harshly, and Piper says, you know what, if you don't want to support me, and I only have the support of my one sister, then I'll just be miserable, and I won't elope with Leo, and it'll just be your fault. Fuck you.
I mean, yes, but also Piper was like, all right, you've made some points. You're not full of shit completely. I can't. The clock is right twice a day, I guess, so...
No, I feel like she said that, but I definitely feel like she was like, I'm gonna be miserable, I'm laying this at your feet.
Yeah, I feel, because, like, I think... I don't think that Phoebe was against the wedding or the rutabaga. I think she was just kind of like, hey, yo, pump the brakes and, like, acknowledge the fact that y'all doing this shit has, like, blow back on other people. It's not just y'all.
Right.
And then once Piper admitted that, she was like, fine, we can do this. Because, you know, I like breaking rules.
Yeah. So after they have that conversation, Piper goes into the kitchen where she overhears Brooke talking about their relationship with Christopher before they turn into animals. And she doesn't really understand or know how much she's going to take dealing with the fact that they see each other for 5 seconds in their human form before one turns into an animal. It's a lot. I can understand why it would make or break a relationship. And Prue completely understands, you know, having a relationship
being
with
the
magic
big sister
in.
Of it all.
Right, right. And so now I feel, now that they've had that conversation, Prue is more determined for them to help Brooke and Christopher. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's save them.
Question.
Answer.
So Piper makes this impassioned plea of, like, you know, she's been in so much pain these last 2 years, yada, yada, yada. What pain?
What pain?
What pain?
What pain?
What pain?
She watched that man almost die. I had to tell him I love him like Peter Pan had to clap 3 times to bring Wendy back to life. And then he still drifted apart. What pain? The pain of having to live with a magical homosexual.
Oh my God. Thank you for reminding me. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is so off topic, but on topic. D, you sent this letter in May and we have been trying to record for the longest time. And I always say we have to bring up D, bring up D, bring up D. You sent us a letter about Leo being a homosexual, and it just hit me. But you said,
"Well, I thought we answered that."
No, this was back in May. This
was
like
still there.
May 23rd. And she's just like, I love how you refer to Leo as a homosexual. I have to say, I never thought twice about Leo and his finances. I have no idea where he lived, how he got his clothes, or even how he paid for food, or that toolbox of his. Like, this dude has been around since the war and had every opportunity to build up generational wealth, but didn't.
Which is why I don't give people who beg near the highways, unless they're veterans, money. Exactly because of what D says. You've had all this time to build up generational wealth, and you asking me to give you money? On top of that, I had a whole rant in the Chick-fil-A line with my homegirl, Wendy. Wendy, I think you still listen to this podcast. I'm shouting you out. First of all, if you ever, ever sit in an intersection asking for money with a chair and a cooler, sir, if you do not walk to the Chick-fil-A and get an application.
D goes on to say his homosexual status really comes to the forefront in season 3. I gotta skip out that. I'm gonna skip the spoiler, but Leo really does come across as a bum on a closer look.
You know what? As a As a magical being, I might no, because you got Cole as an ADA, which means this man had to at least have the mental capacity to know that he has to forge documents. This man got books on forensic psychology. Like, as a magical being.
He was playing his part. When I tell you, this man was playing his part.
You telling me all these years and the best you could do was a handyman? A handyman?
With some New Balances, some Levi's jeans, and a flannel shirt.
The boss is out here doing insider trading. So when she says, for 2 years, I've been in pain because I've been housing this magical homosexual for the people upstairs, I feel her. I feel her.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. That was a wild detour because, like, you know, but D, you've been on my heart, you've been on my brain, and I finally got you on, back on the air. Yeah. Anyway, back to this this homosexual episode.
I can see Leo with the chair and a cooler begging for money, and that makes me upset.
Continue. I need to eat dinner. Come on.
So, the crossbow man, the minion, returns to the boss, and he is hopeful. Yo, this scene. I think this is the one scene that really pissed me off.
Manson killed a random ass owl, and his boss was like, first of all, you dumb bitch. If you all lie to me, lie better than that. If you killed the right owl, there would be a dead human body. What the fuck is this?
He pulled that shit from Snow White because the huntsman falls in love with Snow White. And kills another animal and gives the heart back to the evil witch to be like, look, I did what you were saying. I was like, did he really pull this from a fairy tale and think nobody was going to notice?
And then when he got caught in his lie, he was like, first of all, he had help. Don't yell at me, all right? You ain't telling me there was going to be witches. And he was like, either way, you're fired. And he
turns him into ash. Yeah, literally fired him. So that's where he was like, hey, new guy, you've been promoted. And the guy looked so happy when he looked at why he got promoted. He was like, I ain't asked for this. The look on his face said, no, this isn't what I wanted. Back at the manor, Brooke is finally telling the entire story to the sisters while she holds Christopher. Find out that she took a job at the firm that the boss was at. And the boss was consistently making moves on her, and she refused. And he cursed the two of them to keep them from seeing each other. And the only way that the curse can be lifted is if she gives in or if there is a night within a day. She feels that Christopher is being punished because she won't give up the punani. But Prue and Piper remember how strong Christopher said that Brooke was. And he knows that she's not going to give up. She knows that. They know that she is his ride or die.
Nah, this was really like a girl power ass movement.
It was very girl power.
They said, you said yes to a job and no to a man. You don't deserve that. And at the top of this episode, don't let you know how I feel about that sentiment, then y'all not listening to the right show.
Phoebe goes back to the attic. She's in the Book of Shadows looking to see if she can find something. The book goes back to the hand fasting page, and then there's light and love because Grams appears.
Oh.
And Grams knows that there's a certain sister situation and that Phoebe needs some advice. And Phoebe tries to like go to hug her. She's like, wait, no, I can't hug you, but you know, we're gonna air high five. Phoebe tells Grams that she wants to support Piper, but she feels that it's just not right and that something's wrong. And because of what happened with their mom and with Sam, she doesn't want Prue to go through the same fate and for everybody to get punished because of that. And Grams tells her that you guys are destined for greatness. Like, your mom wasn't really destined for greatness, and so it was okay. But you guys, you guys are destined for greatness. And so the upstairs really ain't got no choice but to deal with it, because you guys deserve true love just like everybody else does.
She says it a little bit more, you know, crass than that. She says, you know, that greatness won't keep you warm at night. It's lonely out here being a witch.
Mm-hmm.
My poom poom needs love.
She said she was married 4 times and never found true love. And as she like fades away, she tells Phoebe that Piper will know in her heart when the time is right. And I was just, man, could you imagine your grams pop in and be like, I see you struggling. Let me give you some advice.
Yeah. And like, it's weird. It's very weird that City Girl Grams is out here being like, true love, true especially love.
Them too.
I feel like that would be Patty. I feel like this has been a better episode for Patty to show up, but this is not the segment for this. Continue.
Okay. So the new guy shows up in the manor and he is shooting up, pew, 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 pew. He's shooting up the place. He pins Piper to the wall with 2 of his arrows. He shoots at Phoebe, but because she was coming down the stairs, he misses. Prue flings him into a cupboard. Prue and Phoebe free Piper, and they're not necessarily sure why the guy didn't kill them, but it's because he didn't want to kill them. He wants the owl. Brooke runs out of the kitchen. The guy tries to shoot her, but Christopher flies in front of the arrow, and he intercepts it. And by intercept it, it means that you the know arrow what it hit. It hit him. It went pew, and then the owl went down. Bink. Prue then deflects one of the arrows back at the murderer, mm-hmm. the attempted murderer, and was able to vanquish him.
I don't want to be a murderer.
Brooke's upset. She is sobbing. Her little male carrion owl has an arrow in his heart. He is mortally wounded, it looks like. You know, I want a stuffed owl with an arrow through it. Make that happen for my birthday. Thank you.
So, I didn't hear the whole thing, but okay.
I said I want a stuffed owl with an arrow through it for my birthday.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I feel like that would be so cute on my bookshelf with my squishmallows. No? Okay. Piper is like, look, you stupid bitch, you and your owl are not gonna ruin my rutabaga. Because if I call this man, the upstairs people are gonna get suspicious, and you gonna get your owl, but I'm not gonna get my man. So just die. But they sent him. Leo Orbin.
Yeah, because he heard, he was like, oh, they talking about work. Go do your job.
He tries to heal Christopher, but he can't. The doorbell rings, and it's Cole there with the right books. Phoebe makes an excuse.
Well, he tries to like be cute about it and be like, and repeats their address. But my man, you already knew their address because of last week when they were in court.
Good catch. And Phoebe's sitting there, she's all like grinning and blushing and stuff. She goes inside to go get the other bag, comes outside, and Cole's like talking to her, and Leo pops up. Is everything okay? Is everything good? Leo, what the fuck are you doing? Go inside.
Why?
He meets him for the first time, and he goes to shake Cole's hand. And there is fairy dust on Cole's hand. Cole looks disgusted. Doesn't he make a comment about like white lighters and then leaving? Like
he's like, white lighters are always messy.
This part I always found, I don't know why, but so incredibly hot. He talks to his shadow and he's like, go find out more information on this. And then the shadow floats down the drain. That is so hot that your shadow does your bidding.
He said, he literally pulled out a handkerchief, wiped off the white lighter juice, and was like, ugh, white lighters are so messy. And in his disgust was like, report this. Why do I even have to tell you? Do your job. And I was just like,
you see what I'm saying? That shit was like, how you mad at your own chef? She was hot. Piper wonders if because Christopher got shot by the arrow, if that's like an omen that means that they're really not meant to be. And Phoebe and Leo are walking in and they're having this whole conversation. Leo, the thing I should to do with you. Brooke tells her that love is if always worth the risk. The boss was about to tell all his people, kill that man, because I'm sick of this shit and I'm not waiting no longer. And then Brooke walks in and the boss is excited. He stands up. He like pulls her clothes. The guy who played this had a blast in this role. Yeah. It was perfect casting. However, because he's doing all of that, the charmed ones and Christopher were able to catch up with them. Brooke does make the promise to the boss that she would stay with him as long as he left Christopher alone, but she doesn't kiss him yet. And that's when the sisters and the Christopher walk into the boss's office. Piper freezes the hallway. Piper feels a twang in her heart. And we now know that it's time for the hand fasting. And I'm like, can y'all just focus on saving Christopher? Can y'all focus on that?
No.
No. Phoebe suspects that because the eclipse gave them a window to pull it off under their noses, if they can't see the sun, then they probably can't see them either. I think it's
if we can't look up, they can't look down.
Yeah, I just feel like that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. However, Piper's like, well, if we save Brooke, then I can't get married. Christopher offers to go in himself, but Piper's like, no, that's literally not your job. That is what we are supposed to be doing. As Brooke and the boss are about to kiss, Prue blows the door down. Sisters and Christopher storm in. This is the first time in 2 months that the loved ones have been able to see themselves in human. The boss tries to conjure a crossbow, but Piper freezes the room. Phoebe wants to vanquish the boss, but Prue wants to make him suffer by seeing the loved ones embrace. So Prue swats the crossbow from his hand. Piper freezes the room. They kiss, and the boss goes up in flames.
True love's kiss, man.
And it has always been my favorite part. And not because of the wedding. Or not because of the hand fasting. So we are back.
Well, because they yank his ass?
We're back at the manor. We are doing the hand fasting. Because Grams is the high priestess. Prue and Phoebe are sharing the maid of honor duties. So they walk downstairs together. Piper comes down behind them. And Prue and Phoebe walk her over to Leo. But before the vows could be exchanged, they ripped that motherfucker right upstairs. I mean, this man is in agony. Agony. And while I was not happy to see my girl Piper in tears, but there was always a sick joy of watching Leo be in agony. And even now, knowing that he's a bum, made it even better. Phoebe and Grams comfort Piper because Leo has gone to his big deluxe apartment in the sky.
Where?
However, downstairs, the triad is praising Cole because Cole has did what no other demon has been able to do, and that was get close to the Hollowells without them knowing that he was a demon. He informed them of the nuptials, and the triad shared this information with the upstairs folk, which is so fucked up. So fucked up. Like, the fact that they're in constant communication kind of bothers me. Cole thinks that he will be able to destroy the Charmed Ones, and obviously nobody has ever done it before. And he believed that Phoebe is the weakest link. Wait, and we all knew that. And we all knew that.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends. And I really feel like that last 45 seconds as a child is what sealed my love. Because I've always been in love for villains. But when he was like, I'm going to take her down in more ways than one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, how do we love the love interest chemistry between the bird and the wolf?
Oh, it is so, again, so I said at the beginning of the episode, I've been reading cozy fantasies, and that's what it reminded me of. Very, like, sweet, almost like saccharine sweet, like if you eat too much candy on one side
mm-hmm.
of your mouth and then it starts to hurt. Like, it was just like super sugary sweet, but I think it was so refreshing that they both had jobs and they both really loved each other. I think with all of the hullabaloo of Leo and Piper, I think it was refreshing to finally have a change of pace in the romance. So I really, really enjoyed it.
Yay, that's cute. I think what made me like them, I would say, is that scene where they're in the kitchen and she's just like, oh, you guys leave notes? We used to leave notes. When they first got turned,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, "Oh, damn, y'all really, y'all, you love him. That's your man, your man, your man." And I know it's supposed to be like a parallel to Piper and Leo's story, mm-hmm. but it's just way more believable from these two,
yeah,
than it is from Piper and Leo. How would we handle the conflict in this episode?
I guess the same way, right? I mean, even though she didn't know that the eclipse was going to break the curse, I feel like she did what she had to do. She saw her man's eye and she was like, I don't know necessarily if I would have gone and been like, oh, I'm going to seal this with a kiss. I probably would try to stab him in his neck. Again, if I'm going to suffer, you're going to suffer. But that's just why I'm as a person.
Yeah, I think honestly, there's really nothing I would change because they try to help Christopher and he dipped the first chance he got.
Right.
They got the premonition from Kit playing with the feather, led us to Brooke. And yeah, this like the petty vanquish of him literally watching True Love's Kiss.
Yeah.
Chef kiss. And I had already said it during that scene, but a tweak I would make to the episode is having Patty instead of Grams, because Patty is the lovesick one. Patty is in love with love. So it makes sense for her
mm-hmm.
to be the one to be like, you know, that doesn't keep you warm at night. Maybe they couldn't get Patty or whatever. But Grams, I hate men. No, absolutely not. Grams is a love him and leave him type.
Yep. For the conflict with Piper and Leo, I don't know if I would have necessarily eloped. I feel like I would have, like, you're not going to tell me what the fuck I'm going to do. Like, y'all be mean when I'm a charmed one. Fuck I am. I am one third of the charmed ones. I am Kelly. Okay, that's who I am. I am Kelly in Destiny's Child, bitch. Y'all not gonna tell me what the fuck I is and is ain't gonna do. But that's,
yes, Miss Calandria.
I don't know. I just feel like I've been really confrontational lately. I don't know why. But I don't know if I would have necessarily eloped, but I would have definitely had my wedding. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I feel the whole thing budding between Phoebe and Cole. I'm really proud of Phoebe because Phoebe likes to throw her box out a lot, like really quickly. And I'm glad to see a level of maturity because He could have literally just, I mean, I feel like he could have downed the charmed ones last week and we would have had no more charmed ones. So I'm very proud of her. Very proud of her.
Yeah, man.
No, that I mean, that's growth.
Growth. You know, yeah. This slow burn between Phoebe and Cole, I don't think I've ever really watched it to see where it switches. But now that, like, when it stops being a game for him, and I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see that. I'm loving this I don't give a fuck Shannon acting that we're getting this season. And, you know, with that said, I'm going to give this episode 7 out of 10 stuffed owls because Mamas was holding on to her stuffed animal and was acting for her life.
I was just like, damn, I really want a little stuffed owl with an arrow through it. Like, I don't know why, but it was just so cute. I would give it 8 out of 10 white lighters in agony. Yeah.
You know what? Can't argue that. I started watching next week's episode, and it's one of my favorites. I quote it often. Steers are sobering. Steers can be sobering.
I remember this episode, and I don't think I liked the fairy. I think she was annoying to me.
The fairy, yes, but like the little girl, I know how next week ends, and it makes me sick to my stomach. Witches be hoes. Blessed be.
Yes, blessed be.
Later, y'all. See y'all next week.
Bye.